G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with a guy who's got an incredible near-death experience testimony. His name is Steve Kang, and he's part of a movie that's being released called After Death. It's out in cinemas on May 15 for 3 days around Australia and New Zealand. And he's got an incredible story to share. The movie is featuring a whole bunch of other people with near-death experiences. You may have heard of people like John Burke, who's a part of the movie, Don Piper. There's a whole bunch of other incredible testimonies included in this movie. But we're going to hear a bit of Steve's testimony today. Welcome along, Steve. Tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Pastor Matt. My name is Steve Kang. I also work as a pastor now myself. I was born and raised in Seoul, South Korea until the age of 9, when I moved to Boston, Massachusetts, in the east coast of the United States. From there, I moved back to Korea at the age of 14 and came back to California at the age of 18 to U.S. to start college.
Fantastic. And tell us about your upbringing. Did you have a religious upbringing at all?
Yeah, I had an upbringing of as a non-believer, as a Buddhist, seeking eternal life at the wrong place and seeking nirvana. I always thought I was a pretty good person, until I had an encounter with Jesus. But yeah, I grew up in South Korea with a very a big family, actually, in terms of having lots of aunts and uncles. My father worked hard. My mother, she's a registered nurse, and she even works till this day. But yeah, I grew up in radical Buddhism, trying to find God on my own.
And then you had a pretty amazing experience of conversion. Tell us what happened.
At the age of 19, I was here in California on my way to become a sophomore at Claremont College, a pretty prestigious school, on my way to become an attorney. I had my whole life written out. They say, right, how do you make God laugh? Tell him your life plans. And I had everything written out. But in the summer of 1998, my father went through a very economic a recession. The whole country did, and he lost his businesses. And I had a very shocking event where he said, hey, Steve, I don't have money to support you anymore. And now you're going to have to find a place to live. I was like, coming from an affluent family, I wasn't used to that. So I called all my friends here in LA, and the only one that allowed me to stay, a friend of mine who was a drug dealer at the time with his friends. So yeah, so in the summer we got high every day. I got kind of involved in selling the drugs, but I must say I was the kindest non-Christian Buddhist, I think, Korean at the time. But that doesn't matter in God's eyes, because when I was overdosed and almost died, oh my gosh, I had a near-death experience. I saw heaven and hell. Hell first. So I smoke what's called a death bowl, Pastor, which is a combination of heroin, cocaine, and PCP that keeps methamphetamine, that keeps people up. Some people die. I smoked that and stayed up for 10 straight days, 240 hours, without even 1 second of rest or sleep. I started losing my sanity around the fourth and fifth day of insomnia. Around the seventh and eighth, ninth day, I had an encounter with the devil, but he didn't come to me. And with pitchforks and horns, he came to me as an aging grandpa, what I thought God would look. And he said, hey, Steve, I know you're having a very hard time in life. If you kill yourself and offer your life as a sacrifice to me, I will give you 50,000 less years of hell. And that's a good deal for 3 or 2 pain. So I went to the kitchen. I found the biggest knife I could find, and I got on my knees. And not all of this is in the movie, but, you know, I'm going into detail with you, Pastor, with the audience. And I wrote my mom a letter the night before saying, Mom, I'm going to go ahead of you into the netherworld before. I'm sorry I failed you in life, but hope to see you there. And she read the letter, and she was weeping. And I was on my knees, I remember, in the afternoon trying to commit suicide. And my mom saw the whole thing, and she calls 911. And I was in the city of Irvine, which has a lot of cops, maybe one per, you know, more, the most per capita, very safe city. So they barged in the door within a minute, and they had bats and mace, and they said, put the knife down. But that's when the grandpa said, you got to go for it now. So I went for it, and I don't know if you can see the scars on here, but I went for the neck, and I cut my stomach open, and the whole living room was bloody red. The police jumped on me. I dropped the knife, but by then the entire living room was covered in blood. I cut arteries by accident as well. My finger, I still can't bend it. It broke. And I was traumatized. I was beaten. And during this time, I'm looking for the grandpa as I'm having a near-death and out-of-body experience. And then he's gone. He's nowhere to be seen. So I'm like, wow, he just left. Where is he? What's going on? And instead of going up, I started to sink. And see my body and going in and out of consciousness. And I see my body, and I'm sinking. I'm not rising up. And it felt like I was on a roller coaster, an elevator that just sinks without ever going back up. After a good 5 minutes, I go, boom, and I land. And I look around, Pastor, and it was not heaven. It was not paradise. Now I know it's a biblical hell. I was not alone. And the place was packed with so many people. There's no sunlight. It was rocks everywhere, cliffy. It was purplish rocks. There was just crowded. And the demons were not small. They were very big demons with capes. And I knew they were in charge of this place. And here's where it becomes a little biblical, because I knew for the first time in my life that I was a sinner, that I'm not a good person. It was weird because I never ever had that thought ever, because there was no concept of original sin in Buddhism. You're just born and you just keep getting reincarnated for eternity, you know, and hopefully you get reached nirvana after a million years. But here I am, knowing I'm a sinner. And number two, I knew this, I just supernaturally knew that this place, I'm never going to leave this place. But thank God my mom had one Christian friend who was actually the mother of this house that I was in, selling drugs, and she was a believer, and they come from a very spirit-filled Pentecostal church. It's called Grace Ministries International. They baptized a million people and saved, planted 10,000 churches, one church. It became a denomination by the Holy Spirit. They came to the emergency room, and they're praying for me now. About eight of them showed up after they got my mother's phone call to my friend's mom, and they called the pastors, and they came over to the emergency room, and they were praying for me for about a good 8 hours, which was the duration of the surgery, and I lived. It was a miracle. The specialist who does blood surgery, vein vascular surgery, ties them back up, said it was a miracle. Two surgeries. My heart rate and blood rate kept dropping. I shouldn't be here. I believe, I don't know if you're Calvinist or Armenian, but it doesn't matter. I'm here by the power of prayer in the name of Jesus. And right before I opened my eyes, you know, I remember that feeling of emotional, spiritual, physical death, like not having even 1% of God. I think no human being should experience, but I experienced it for a good, I don't know how long, 5, 10, 20 minutes. If it was 8 hours here on earth, you know, I didn't see Jesus at the time, but the Lord Jesus said, you know, I love you, and no more Buddhism and no more drugs. And I opened my eyes and I was like, wow, I'm in the ER. And I was in the operation room with in the bed now, staples and tubes everywhere, surrounded by pastors saying, what did you see? In Jesus' name, devil be gone. I think they were worried that maybe I was still demon possessed, whatever. And I said, hey, I'm not the devil, guys. They're like, okay, good. You want to accept Jesus? And I told them what I saw. And they said, yeah, that's hell. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going there. Like, what do I do? They're like, say the Lord's Prayer. So here I am in bed praying the Lord's Prayer, not once or twice or three times, but on that day, I prayed the Lord's Prayer 10 times. And Jesus comforted me. And yeah, that was my intro to Christianity and the gospel.
Now, that's obviously the most amazing supernatural afterlife experience. That's incredible. But your life didn't change overnight, did it? What happened next?
Yeah, Pastor Matt, life doesn't change overnight. Sanctification takes time. maybe others would have, you know, changed quicker than me, but I still felt tired. I still felt down, and I still felt like, what happened to me? I saw hell, but I need to make sense of this. So the church kept visiting me in my home with like baked goods and food and doing Bible study for me. And I went back to school within a few months. But when I did, you know, to be frank with you, I was right back into the party scene. I was like, oh, one more time. Somewhere I read in the Bible that he's merciful and he's love. I'm like, maybe I can have one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity, and God will still put up with me. And little did I know, within a few months, the Lord started moving to sanctify me. I started getting into car accidents every time I try to go to a party. I'm talking about like crater boxes in the middle of the freeway that I would hit. Like, the chance of that is like winning the lottery. Very, very, very small percent happening. And after that happening over and over again, I had a dream. And this is now June of 1999. So about 9 months later, Pastor, after seeing hell, the Lord's goodness and mercy showed me heaven. And I saw the glories of heaven. I saw the New Jerusalem, which is in the book of Revelation, 20:21-22. Praise Jesus. I saw the glory of God the Father. And he came to me as a huge ball of light after I saw the New Jerusalem, the city made of pure gold, on the scriptures. And when our Father speaks, he doesn't chit-chat. He just said, he speaks to me in scripture. Like, he's the word, you know. He puts his word above his name. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. The Father said, Jesus is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. And I said, wow, I just heard the voice of God. And I woke up. But before I heard his voice, I heard the angels worshiping and singing God in the most beautiful and angelic voice of choir I've ever heard. I knew they were not human, because human beings cannot sing like that. It was angels worshiping God. So I heard angelic voices. I saw the Father's glory, approving of Jesus, his Son. And I woke up and I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm done. I think my party days are done. And little by little, and after that, 14 months of living in a prayer mountain started, where I was there just reading the Bible and worshiping three times a day before I went to become a missionary to China. So that was back to back, yeah.
Well, your life has really been turned around after these incredible supernatural experiences. And you know what? You can't argue with someone's testimony, can you?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it happened. The Lord's my witness, and now I have love for people. You're right.
Mm. Now, this movie, After Death, that's coming out in cinemas May 15 in Australia, just for 3 days. This is a movie that features a whole bunch of people sharing their near-death experiences. Tell us about other near-death experiences you've heard about. Are there other people that you've connected with that you've been able to compare notes with?
Yeah, I met Randy Kay there. I met Pastor John Burke. There's a dozen others that came to the red carpet premiere. Actually, even before that, I connected with them on Zoom. Some of them, they have their own media studios like yourself, Pastor, and we shared our stories. Mm-hmm. I was the only one actually on the movie who didn't sell like a million copies of their books. I don't know why I was on there, but I do know all our stories are very similar. We saw heaven. Some of us saw hell, both. It changed us forever. We didn't want to come back, kind of a thing. When I saw heaven, I didn't want to come back, because once you taste and see the Father's glory, it's the best thing you've ever tasted. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And it changes us forever. It makes us a whole new heart, a whole new nature, a whole new spirit. So yeah, Pastor John Burke almost died. As you guys know, the 90 minutes in heaven. Mm. Pastor John Piper almost died. He had an out-of-body experience. He went like really high and saw his body. He got hit by a truck. And then he had an encounter where he went to heaven and saw his loved ones. And he didn't want to come back. And he had to go through the entire process of having his body rebuilt. And I think it changes you forever and makes you want to bring everyone, even your enemies, to heaven. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we meet this God of forgiveness. And I'm telling you, like, we're going evangelizing every day, Pastor, every week. We don't sit still, because the news is there. It's the good news, the greatest news ever, and it's urgent. So, yeah, I became a pastor and evangelist after. And I think all the others did as well.
And tell us about your ministry you're a part of now.
Oh, yeah. So I serve as an assistant pastor at a local church called Free Life. It's a fairly new church. I used to be at a pretty big church. I actually became the pastor, the youth pastor at Grace Church, where they saved me like 10 years, you know, 10 years ago. 10 years later, I became the youth pastor there. But yeah, I have my own parish church and we do church planting. I'm part of the SBC Send Network. Me and my wife went through an assessment and yeah, we plant churches. It's called Revive the Nations. And we disciple people all over the world, actually. We pray every morning. We create resources. Actually traveling soon to Europe to do revivals. I do a lot of revivals at churches, share. Yeah, but for me, whether it's one person on the streets or preaching to thousands of people, it's all the same. It's the same Jesus. And he loves every single one by one.
And, you know, there might be people watching this that and listening to this that are like, wow. This guy has been to heaven. He's seen hell. This guy's talking about, you know, the afterlife. But there might be people that are listening that don't know where they're going, that they've never made a commitment to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Would you just throw out a challenge to those who are connecting with us now? You know, what do they do to come to the Lord?
I want to really encourage you, really, really encourage you from the bottom of my heart, with all my heart as your fellow neighbor. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. He does not ask what mistakes did you make, and the cross of Jesus is enough, past, present, future. And I want to challenge you to go home, get on your knees, and or even just sit down and go, God, if you're real, come and encounter me. And you might be like, what if he doesn't? My answer is, what if he does? What if he does show up and your life changes? What if he does encounter you? What if he gives you a new heart? Because he's been doing this for thousands of years. He's good at it. He's merciful. He's so merciful. It made me like have a debt of love to him. And he loves you very much. He loves you so much. He is worth it. If you're experiencing depression, confusion, no idea where you're going, the afterlife is real. It's just the beginning. Heaven and hell is real. And God desires all men to be saved, it says in 2 Timothy.
Now, there might be people that would actually like to pray now and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Would you like to lead us in a prayer for those who might want to pray that prayer?
There'd be an honor. Let's pray this prayer. This is a prayer I prayed to meet the Lord. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for creating me, creating the heavens and the earth, giving me life. And I thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. On that cross, all my sins, past, present, future, I ask you to come and take over my life. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know it begins with surrender, begins with trust. So God, fill me with the grace to believe and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I make you my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I give you control of my life. Thank you, God, for this new heart and new spirit. And thank you for the gospel. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have just prayed that prayer, well done. That is the most eternal decision you can ever make. I believe that, you know, your sins are forgiven. You've started that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to, you know, contact a local church. Contact a Christian that you know. Tell them that you've given your heart to Jesus and, you know, find a good home church and start reading the Bible. I always encourage people to read the Gospel of John. It's a great book to start in the Bible. Read through the Gospel of John and just pray. You've got a relationship with God now. You can pray all day, every day. That's the good news, hey?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. It is. He speaks with you. Mm. Buddha never spoke to me, but God communes. He speaks. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And if anybody watching or listening to this would like a free Bible as well, contact us through the website. Just go to historymakersradio.com and you can send us an email at the History Makers website and we can send you a free Bible and connect you up with the local church as well. Well, Steve, it's been so good to hear your testimony today. I reckon you're a history maker and I'm so excited about this new movie, After Death, out in cinemas May 15, just for 3 days. In Australia and New Zealand, and we're really hoping that many people will go along, fill up those cinemas, and hopefully, if it goes well, they might even extend it a bit longer. And of course, it will be out on digital eventually as well, but I encourage people to check out the movie After Death in cinemas, They can search up Movies Change People to find out more information about this wonderful movie featuring Pastor Steve Kang that we've just heard from. Also, people like Don Piper from 90 Minutes in Heaven, John Burke, many well-known Christians sharing their near-death experiences. Absolutely awesome. Well, Steve, thanks so much for your time today, mate. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
And hope to see you down under in Australia one day, hey?
Yes, sir. Thank you. It was an honor to be here. God bless Australia and New Zealand. We love you guys so much.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.